This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. We have a lot to get to in the last 20 minutes or so of the show. And this is going to sound complicated, but we've got all of the experts in here to back it all up and break it down for you. Let me start with Nicole Bateman, who's in every other Friday as part of our economic development partnership and talking about the great things in the community. And man, there has been a lot to talk about. But from the EDC side, why is this project so important?
Well, so when we talk often about our resources, right, and all the tools that we have in our toolbox, and water resources is critically important to every company we speak with. And so protecting our water source, which is Lake Decatur, and the watershed that feeds the lake is a really important economic development activity for us to be partnered in.
It is one of the top things on a list when a company is looking at anywhere, right?
It is, absolutely.
You got to have your workforce, you got to have other things, but water supply is important.
I think, you know, just locally, we might take that for granted, but when we talk to companies from, let's say, California, for instance, I mean, that's an issue there, and that's an issue in many other parts of the country. And so having a robust water supply is going to be really important to the future of our economic development efforts.
Okay, let's bring City Manager Scott Wright into the conversation. This dates back, there was an almost $10 million grant to the City of Decatur.
There was a $10 million grant to the City of Decatur from the United States Department of Agriculture, and it's to improve the watershed. But I think, Brian, you have to even step back a little bit further than that. The city spent over $100 million
on dredging, sure.
On dredging and all the costs related to that. And by doing that dredging project, although it was very disruptive and very expensive, we gained about 30% more capacity in the lake. But looking forward, we really have to be good stewards about reducing the amount of nitrate and sediment that comes into the lake so that the city and its ratepayers can avoid another one of those dredging projects in the future and make sure that we have enough water for industrial development, like Nicole is saying.
Okay, and Keith, you've been along for the whole ride with this.
It sure feels that way.
You don't change. You look the same as you would have looked in here in 1996. Do you have some sort of mirror in the attic? What's going on?
Just healthy living and drinking a lot of Decatur water.
That's pretty amazing. All right, so I'm going to, Jeff, if you get a little bit closer to that microphone, if you don't mind here. Jeff Beckler is with North Water Consulting of Springfield. What is it that your company does, Jeff?
So we specialize in water resource management, and our role in this particular project is to help advise the city on where to gain the biggest bang for the buck in terms of investments in the watershed to make the reservoir more resilient and support, you know, industry.
So this is your specialty. You come in and kind of point people in the right direction.
Right.
Keith, what's the biggest problem? And I know there's incentives involved in this, and there's going to get people to think about doing things in a different way, but what's the biggest struggle with lake management as far as runoffs are concerned? And we talked about nitrates and phosphorus and all that. What's the biggest concern?
Well, the biggest concern is sediment, which is soil running into the lake, because like Scott said, we've spent millions of dollars in that dredging investment. In fact, we've dredged the entire lake over the past 25 years. And then the other challenge is just the fact that the watershed is so large. It's 926 square miles of East Central Illinois, about 450,000 acres of corn and soybean fields that flow into the lake.
Yeah, now we are the agri capital of the world,
exactly.
Which brings with it a lot of positives. This is one of the downsides as a byproduct of having so much agriculture.
Well, it's not so much a downside. It's an interesting discussion so that both parties can benefit from soil erosion control.
Okay, so Scott, what's different about this? What are the incentives? How do we get people thinking about things in a little different way? And you'll have so many people that will dismiss anything as clean or trying to do things better as like, oh, some sort of agenda. But this makes sense on every level. What will be different about this plan?
Yeah, the thing is, there's no single bullet. There's no single strategy. It involves lots of different strategies that collectively in the aggregate, we hope will make a significant reduction in the sediment. We have to be spending a lot of time with farmers upstream in that huge watershed that Keith just described so that they'll change their farming practices, use more buffers, use more erosion control structures. We have to put some of those same structures in right next to the lake. There may be places where we actually have to acquire a piece of property because the owner doesn't want to do that. So we will, because it's a particularly large source of erosion and runoff. We may try strategies like floating wetlands and or meshes or devices underneath the water's surface to stop or divert the sediment, And so it's not a single thing that we do. It's the aggregate of all of those. And this $10 million grant from USDA gets us going on some of those expenses.
Okay. And then you do this, I'm assuming, across the Midwest or across the country. I don't know how big your company is, but what are some of the obstacles that you run into when trying to sort of re-educate or look at things in a different way and doing things cleaner?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest challenges for this particular watershed, we do work with other smaller reservoirs, is just the sheer size of it. But what we do know based on existing monitoring...
Okay, I'm sorry, can I get you to just get a little closer to that microphone? That's okay.
So what I was saying is, you know, one of the challenges with Lake Decatur is it's just sheer size. What we do know, fortunately, based on existing monitoring, is that most of the load in terms of sediment and nutrients are yielded from areas closer to the lake. So it's our job to find those locations and offer up incentives to those landowners to maybe put a structure in place. So it's about getting the biggest bang for the buck.
And Scott, what will those incentives look like?
Well, we've already entered into some agreements with farmers, and the incentive looks like we help pay for some of those improvements.
Right.
The farmer pays a portion and the city pays a portion because we both benefit. I mean, he retains some of his valuable topsoil and we keep it from going into the lake.
Yeah, and clearly this is being done in an effective way in the solar area. I know I just had a Parks Foundation meeting yesterday where, you know, you guys are doing the big project at the Civic Center. You're in the electric car business. You know, there are incentives to get people to sort of skip to the next level of technology to make life better. And companies are looking for that too, right? I mean, they want I hate to use the word progressive because people attach something to that, but a progressive community that's embracing new.
They do. I was actually just meeting with a company yesterday and we were talking about a lot of the different sustainability, the clean energy efforts that are happening here in the community. And that was really important to them. And that was going to be especially important to their clients as well.
And important to their employees.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, it's not like many of the things we talk about. It's not one note, right? There's a lot that is important to not only these companies, but it really positions Decatur for future growth, not only in economic development, but attracting residents and just preserving what we have, you know, is super important, especially when we talk about our natural resources, because we can't make that again, right? So let's take care of what we have and let's be smart about it and invest wisely so we get the biggest bang for our buck.
All right, we've talked about companies and their needs, and we've talked about the environment and those needs, and we've talked about recruitment and those needs. What about the lake as a resource for the community? I mean, I drive down there now. It looks so good. I mean, the new docks and I know there's new conversations, and it's such a tremendous resource that people who grew up here don't realize. We just don't have this very often right smack in the middle of a community the way we do. Do you see, Keith, over the years, I mean, because you've been involved in these conversations for a long time, there seems to be some real headway here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've said without Lake Decatur, we would just be another Bloomington Normal. And, you know, it's the lake that makes the geography of the
city. Patrick, I'm sorry about that.
So interesting.
It is. And because A.E. Staley and some of the great names of the past saw the need for that, and, you know, the lake was created, and even then, you know, was such a tremendous business resource. But for everyone else, this matters, too, just recreationally.
Oh, absolutely. You know, once we started the massive dredging project that we recently finished up, the lake is definitely clearer. I mean, people literally comment that the lake is not as brown as it used to be.
Right.
And that's because it's deeper. The dredging has a dramatic impact on that. Fisheries is improved. Boating obviously is improved. A couple other things that we're doing with watershed management and protection is the lake has about 26 miles of shoreline. We have about 1 mile of shoreline. In other words, about what? A very small percentage of shoreline that we still need to maintain to protect it for erosion control. The city has gotten some state grants to assist and pay for that. And so we'll be hopefully starting the first phase of that project this year and then do the second phase next year. So people that live around the lake or that use the lake not only see the fact that the water quality is better, we're even going to make it better still by protecting the shoreline even further than we have over the last decades.
All right, Scott, what phase are we in? What is the timeline, you know, to all of this? I'm sure it's probably continual and goes past this, but where are we in the timeline?
Well, the city is celebrating this year the centennial of Lake Decatur.
Big event.
And so I like to say that we really need to be better stewards in the lake's second century than we were in its first century. And I think that we're in the early phases to answer your question. But as you have implied, this is a 20, 30, 40-year endeavor, and it needs to be made just a part of the whole nomenclature of our public improvements, of the way we think about the local environment, to just change everybody's view about litter, because that also affects water quality, about runoff. And so when people see some of these structures that might appear on the lake's edge, or they see that the city council has to step up and say, well, in this buffer area right next to the lake's edge, we're going to have, we probably have some regulations we didn't have in the past, but it's in the best interest of the lake. And so we're in the early phases, I would say, of what will probably be a 4 or 5 phase, 50-year endeavor to make really significant reductions in nitrate and sediment.
It's hard to sell 50 years to people, right? I mean, it's hard to sell next week to people. People like the here and now.
You're right. That's the challenge.
It is. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you all have the vision, of worrying about what comes next. And none of us are going to be here 50 years from now to know, but future generations will benefit from that. All right. So the big party, I know that there's a lot of folks involved, and there's a consultant in the Staley families involved, and are there's going to be a big week, because I think it's like, is it right before the 4th of July or right after the 4th?
Right after,
so there's 4th mm-hmm. of July. Lake Patrol is going to be busy, Keith, and then you're going to have this big party afterwards.
So 4th of July this year falls on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And then Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday following that, so that would be what, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of July will be Lake Fest. And most of it will take place down there on the lake in Basin 2. But there's a wide range of activities, and almost all of them are going to be free. I mean, unless you buy, beer and food or something. But other than that, if you want to be on the lake or participate in some of the other events and the music shows and all that will be there. And we will also be making sure that some of the things that the city's trying to do going forward are explained there. People aren't going to come down to the lake necessarily for a watershed
lesson. Seminar.
But while they're there enjoying the lake,
take some time to educate.
We might as well put in a few plugs for what we're trying to do over the long term.
I think the conversation has changed a little bit, from maybe even where it was 10 years ago when we were talking about, some retail or residential development and new docks, and people don't like change. I mean, they cling to like what is. But then I think after the fact, when people can go, oh, well, this looks much better, and we see different opportunities, I think this conversation is brand new. I mean, as far as starting over on some really good ideas that maybe didn't come to fruition 10 years ago.
I think so. And I think that's human nature, right? When you talk about a lot of change and changing a whole landscape along the lake at once, it can freak people out a little bit. But when you start introducing how beautiful the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater is, how nice these new docks are, how great the sidewalks are, you start slowly introducing, then they can, I think, see the vision a little clearer. And then your buy-in is a lot easier. And there's just so much opportunity still on that lakefront.
I was down there the other day, standing in the what we used to call the horseshoe. I don't know what it's technically referred to, but looking at where Festus Paul had his golf kingdom, on that mm-hmm. great big hill. And I'm thinking, what is the value of that land? Mm-hmm. Where it is situated. And for, 50 years, it was a miniature golf course. And what could it be 20 years from now?
Right. Well, look at Overlook Adventure Park.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing. So I think Decatur's always had a really awesome way of reinventing itself. And we're in that phase again on a lot of different fronts. And the lake is no exception to that.
All right. When we talk about residential, and we had this conversation yesterday at a Parks Foundation board meeting, our companies, and they are growing thanks to the work of the city and economic development. And we were out there for the Innova feed, ribbon cutting, which I'm still stunned turned out in January to be an okay day to do. But that development and all the others on top of that, we don't have the residential needs that we have to bring these jobs. And, many of these global companies have people who come and work here for a year, 2 years, 3 years and move on to other places. We definitely need some new residential areas in this community. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah. Many of our, especially when we talk about rentals, right? So our rentals are very dated and we need new ones. And that's a project that we're actively working on with the city and with others because we know it's a need, and that's not a need that's unique to just Decatur.
Oh, I mean, go up to the aforementioned
area.
Bloomington and
your
mm-hmm. hotel rooms are running $375 a night because half the employees are living there.
Right.
But lake residential would be incredibly attractive.
It would be. And lake homes, and you just had the Brancotter home highlight here before the segment, and lake homes sell quickly and people want to be on the lake. There's something about living on the water that's really soothing and attractive, and You can't get that in every other Central Illinois city around here. So that's an advantage we have, and I think we should capitalize on that.
No doubt about it. Well, it's great seeing all of you. Thank you for making this easy to understand for everyone, and we look forward to future conversations.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.